thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the grace, Lord God. And thank you, Lord, for this precious groaning praise to you. Lord, we ache because of the love that you love us with. Lord, thank you, God, that we're beginning to reciprocate that back to you. It is so wonderful, Lord. Thank you for that precious truth in love that, again, it's changing us from glory to glory. What a privilege and rejoicing it is to come into the house of the Lord and give you all the thanksgiving and praise, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord, again, this is you. This is your word. And thank you, Lord, that you said, come and feast upon me. Eat of me. Lord, let us feast today. God, increase our appetite. Lord, just prepare, God, and bring forth the strong meat. Lord, help us to be teachable today. God, awakened. Lord, tender. Lord, break up any fallow ground that's still there. Lord, if there be any roots of bitterness, Lord, in any of our lives at this moment, dear God, in Jesus' name, let's take care of it. Lord, let the love of God just abound in us. God, it's all because of your Son. We thank you again for him. We praise you, Lord, that you found grace upon us. And may this grace just work effectually in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. If you'd open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Read about this precious church at Ephesus. And the Word of God in Paul's journeys. In Ephesus, Paul was there preaching day and night and for 3 years. And so thankful to God that the word was so given out on and into these precious ones, the elders at Ephesus and these different ones. And they had heard the whole counsel of God. They rejoiced. They were moved and they received it. And praise God, they rejoiced in this precious truth, the truth of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But as the Lord is encouraging now, and what happened there, even though they had this profound and beautiful, high, full calling, fully purposed truth, this mystery of Christ in the church that had been hidden for ages, but was poured forth to this company of saints here in this place. This is what the Lord writes at this time. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he, that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and I know thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience. And for my name's sake, you have labored and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou, you, have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Yep. That is very sobering, isn't it? And I have to thank God today as we begin this. You don't have to be around this place very long to know that there is a love and an appreciation and a thankfulness for Paul's gospel. Amen. But what is so sad is that most Christians have no idea what that even means. Most Christians don't have any idea when you say Paul's gospel, well, what do you mean by that? When Paul's gospel is the high watermark of the entire Bible. And Paul, by the Holy Ghost, he claims this. He possesses this of what God has given to him. In Galatians, he says, there's no other gospel to preach but my gospel. Paul even said that this gospel, again, that was his, and remember, it was given to him of God. And by this statement that I'm about ready to say, you understand that it was given to him of God. Yes, it was Paul's gospel, but it was given to him of God, because he says, because if I come back here and preach any other gospel to you, though I preach with tongues of men and angels, though I would even have faith to move mountains, though I would give all my money to the poor. You say, well, he didn't say all that there. Let me tell you something. His heart was right there. If I come back here and preach any other new thing that I so amazingly have found, let me be accursed. Because there is but one gospel to preach, and that is the gospel given to me, which is known as Paul's or my gospel. Amen. Do you know, most don't know that. It's interesting. Get yourself acquainted with Galatians. And I mean acquainted by the Holy Ghost acquainted. And you'll understand that real quick. But then, praise God, in Ephesians it says that Paul's gospel, it tells you what it is. It's the mystery of Christ in the church. Paul's gospel, praise the Lord, was the mystery that was hidden from all the ages. It's the glory message of all eternity. And it was hidden. And it was even hidden from the Old Testament worthies of faith. It says in the Word of God that they wrote the Old Testament. They wrote these things for our sake. Those mysteries that were hidden in there. And let me tell you something. Oh, what a reward the Noah and the Moses and the David and the Ruth and the Esther and on and on and on received. Amen? Oh, amen. You'd have to have your head examined if you didn't say, well, I want that. Amen. But wait a second. To us, go read in Hebrews. To us, even a better thing. What is given to us through Paul's gospel, it says, without us, they will not be complete. They cannot be made perfect without this finishing, praise be to God, without the queen taking the place with the king. See, until the throne room, praise God, is complete, it ain't done yet. Yes, it's finished by the work on the cross. But he will not take the throne as God. Jesus Christ is at the very right hand of God right now. But he will not take the throne as God until he has what comes forth out of Paul's gospel. Amen. All right. Now we're... there's quickening. But see, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. See, through Paul, it's now revealed. Through Paul, praise God, it was given to us the mystery of Christ Jesus and His bride. Amen. I think of how people wrestle with the things in the Old Testament. All of these scholars still scratching their head. What in the world is this Song of Solomon doing right here in the middle of all of this prophecy? Oh my. You just sit there and you go, bang, bang, bang. Because it's the high calling of all the prophecy. It's like he took time off to start to tell us about how men and women should act in courtship and marriage. No, that's the courtship that Jesus Christ is going on right now with those that have an ear to hear it. But I'll tell you what, aren't you thankful by the grace of God that grace has chose us to bestow such wonder? Aren't you thankful to God that mercy has called us to the most highly esteemed place? I mean, think of what you're sitting here hearing today. People in this world are more fearful than they have ever been. They are worried moment by moment. Those guys out there in New York and all of these banking things, they're sitting there terrified. What is going to happen Monday morning when the market opens? Are we going to get our candidate in? Come on. All of these things that men fear. And yet here we are. By all of that grace and mercy. All of that stuff, praise God. We know that, Lord, you'll deal with that. And all you want is our focus on you. Praise Him for that. Thank Him for that. I deal with people that are so fearful all week long. And you preach the word and you give them that encouragement. And by the grace of God, they say, oh, I want to visit with you. I want to talk to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are the ambassadors. Hallelujah. But not just an ambassadors. We're lights. But by the grace of God, are we living that light? Amen. You see how quickly we can get caught up into that stuff. You turn your ear, your attention to it, you get mesmerized like that. We are worshiping creatures. God made us that way. You know it. Let me tell you something. You better know this right now. Every man, woman is worshiping something at this very moment. Everybody's got an idol. But I'll tell you what. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, aren't you thankful that we have come to know His love? By the power of the Holy Ghost, if you've showed up again, can you imagine that? By the Holy Ghost and the grace of God, you have said yes to His proposal. Oh yeah. You keep coming around. Hallelujah. He heard those words. Well, I said them real quiet. Oh yes, He heard those words. Like I told you, He knows where those vases are. He heard those words. But just like any engagement, brothers and sisters, any engagement, you must continue to cherish. Amen? We've talked about that, you know. I mean, being a man and proposing to my wife, and I'm thankful to God for that. I was so thankful that she appreciated the ring so much. And it ain't the size of the ring. If it is, you got the wrong woman, guys. Just what it is. I'll be blunt. It's the meaning. It's you have me. Not just my heart, you got me. See, that was King Ahasuerus. When Esther came out before him, she says, oh, I got a petition. He said, I'll tell you what, honey. You got me. What's mine is yours. If you want to ask for something, go ahead. But do you get what I'm telling you? It's already done. You got me. And I was thankful to God that she loved that ring. She was thankful for that ring. She cherished that ring. Looking at it and all that. How would it have been the next day we got together and didn't have it on? You know, I just didn't feel like wearing it today. You know, those are things that make you go, But it's the truth. And this is what he's getting at here. Brothers and sisters, we must cherish this engagement time and even grow in more anticipation of what? The wedding day. Amen. Amen. Could you imagine that even in the natural? You're getting married and, you know, the bride, they just get captivated, almost really obsessed with that wedding day, how it looks, what I'm wearing, the food, everything. Sweet. Thankful. But could you imagine you're getting married and that bride? Honey, what day was that again we're supposed to get married? Could you imagine the things that would be said? It wouldn't happen, would it? And if it did, you better run the other way. But see, God has said, He said, you know what? I am seeking the true worship of the true lover. That's what worship means. Drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss. My son. My son. And He has given that choice, praise God, to me. Me. And my choice, praise God, is like Him. Those that are like Him that transform from glory to glory to His image. And I've sent the Holy Ghost to perform it, to do it, to seek that one out. Isn't this exciting? Praise God. And that's the one it's going to be. And here in Revelation 2, we know that these saints at Ephesus, they had heard this. They had embraced this, praise be to God. But just as I mentioned about Esther, there was a queen before her, before she became queen. What a wonderful, wonderful book of the Bible. So many things in there, but I love this bridal type. And her name was Vashti, and she was queen. And she was the queen, and she had the crown. She had the palace. But you know what? Her heart grew complacent. Her love for the king grew cold. Yes. And the crown, it says, was taken from her and given to another who was better than her. Better. In love. Amen. See, even in Revelation chapter 3, you go on to the Church of Philadelphia. The Church of Philadelphia represents, I really am so thankful, it's this time, that company of believers that are alive unto the coming of the Lord. And they're alive and in love, fervent love with Him. And they will be spared going into the tribulation. The only ones that are alive at the time of the Lord that will be raptured away. A lot of talk about rapture right now. Today's a big day. Every day's a big day. Because He could come today. Now I was getting a little bit down. I said, oh, they're all looking and thinking you're coming right now, Lord. And you said the hour they think not. But you know, the Lord just might do this. You know what He might do? He just might come today. And then there'll be something, oh, wait a second. We thought you were coming today. But what was the qualifier? Did you love my appearing? Amen. Or did we just love an event? Do we love signs? Do you love Him? Love Him. See, getting back to the marriage, you know, some people just want to get married to get married. You don't get married to get married. You don't get married to wear a dress. You don't get married to have a ring. You don't get married to be taken care of. Get married for one reason, because that love has captivated you so much that you just can't function unless you're right there next to that person for the rest of your life. Amen. It's good. But see, even to that wonderful Church of Philadelphia that's running well, that's readied, that will be spared, again, from going into the tribulation. He reminds them, doesn't He? He tells them, stay in love with me. Cherish me. And here's how He says it. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man, take thy crown. All right. Sister Clark, she touched on this. At this convention, so stirred my heart. Pray for her. I love her so much. What a precious, humble vessel. I love her. But these saints at Ephesus, she brought out. They ran well. And as it says here in our text, and you art fallen. She brought out how one of the meanings of that is to be driven off course. When you're fallen from that whole counsel, that fervent love, you've driven off course. See, we're on a race course, aren't we? Amen? And as the Word of God says, there is but one course, there is but one narrow way. And Ephesians 4:15, again, the Apostle Paul, and I believe I have the liberty to say this, he calls it the Truth in Love Avenue. It's one way. It's one course. It's a narrow way. It's the only road to grow up into Him in all things. Amen. You grow up in Christ. Did you know that? Amen. His life lives in you. Amen. That's the only life a Christian's got. Matter of fact, that's the only life there is, the life of Jesus. Amen. And that life that he's talking about fully growing up in with truth and love is a fully mature and a life that is kept readied as his wife. Not just here and there, but she's prepared. She's ready. Appreciate how Tammy gets excited. She's a bride, hallelujah, that doesn't know when the bridegroom's coming, but she even sleeps with her clothes on in case he comes at night. It's time to go. Huh? She's the bride that knows he's so in love with me, I don't even need to get my hair together. I don't need to get my makeup on when he's at the door. It's just time to go. There's nothing to get in order here. He's got all the order. Hallelujah. But see, these bridal saints, they fell from their place. Because why? They fell out of love. Think of all the things they did. Look at this. It said that they had patience for his namesake. They labored. They hadn't fainted. I mean, these folks were really going on. They went to church. They were encouraged in the things of God. But something happened. And what happened was they fell out of love. Talking first love. Oh, I love you. Agape, divine. Am I in love with you? But here's what's so beautiful about this entire thing. Here is the faithful bridegroom. He didn't just walk away. He's still pleading. He's still saying, honey, wake up. Love me. I'm not moving from you. Get back to the place when you love me. And I was thinking, one of the saddest phrases I've ever heard, most grievous statements I ever hear, and yeah, it only comes when I'm dealing with some married couples. I'm not in love with you anymore. When life sets in, when individuals begin to entangle themselves in the affairs of this life. See, that's not only with Christ, but that's even in our natural marriages. We lose ourselves in empty pursuits. Lies. That's what that is. It's a lie. See, and I love this, and I know this is for my life. See, God has joined me to Paul's gospel. Did you know that? You're enjoined. What do you think an engagement ring is? What do you think a crown is? I've been enjoined to that. And what God has joined, let no man put asunder. That's not just talking about your marriage. That's talking about, praise be to God, what we've been given in the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, in that proposal. Oh, yes. But see, you let these things set in. You let your life become about things of empty pursuits and anything but going fully after God. Let me give you the news. It's an empty pursuit. But after so many years, I'm telling you, it's like you're sitting there with somebody you don't even know. So neglected that you don't even remember what first love was all about. When someone falls out of love with you, there's nothing that hurts any worse. And I have to tell you, as the Lord was giving me this, I started crying and I said, oh Lord, my heart breaks for you, Jesus. My heart breaks for you. Because we are in the greatest time of the love of many that is waxing cold. How many times has he heard, I don't love you anymore? But here he is again. He's that lover of lovers.
He's that one that keeps getting knocked in the head. Matter of fact, he took the stripe of death.
Oh, they did it all to me on the cross. There's nothing you could do to me to stop my love for you.
And he keeps a-coming and a-coming and a-coming and a-coming. And he keeps wooing us and he keeps calling us. And he says, oh, return. Return to the first love.
Oh, I heard him say that to me over and over. I've heard him say that to me many times in my life.
And you know what? You're hearing that today. Yes, you are. You're hearing it right now. He's telling you, love me. Don't just like me. Don't just give me some time. Fall in love with me. And maybe it's the first time, but for many of us here today, fall in love with me again. And I thank God because, you know, it's not too late. Oh, no. But as we close this up, that is how his love returns to us. That is how his love remains. We hear him. We don't see him. We don't feel him. You'll see and hear, and you'll see and feel him when you hear him. But you got to hear him. You got to hear the voice. And then when you hear the voice, you see him appear. Oh, it's a glass darkly. It's not face to face yet. But you see him. And oh, you feel him, don't you? Do you feel him right now? I feel him right now. Ooh, I feel him right now. All over me and all in me. And then you're a lover of his appearing. And here's again, here's his appearing. I see him. Why do you think the Apostle Paul said, oh, as he said to him, oh, I rejoice, I hear of your love to one another. It's fervent, it's real, it's true. But he said to him, that's all good and well, but that your love would abound more and more and more and more to one another. All my life, I've been around many who've known this message. All my life, God has spared me from a lot of things. But I'm going to tell you, even though there's so many that I know that have known this message, God has shown me very clearly there's very few that have this love message ooze from their life. Don't be ashamed when you just look love struck to people. Don't. Thank God. It's okay. No, and it's just the grace of God. She knows that. But there isn't anything sweeter than when you gotten up and you've given a testimony to the glory of God or given a sermon or whatever it may be to the glory of God. And somebody comes up to you and says, the love of God just oozes out from your life. I don't need anybody, and it's never going to happen anyways. Wow, I'm just so stunned at how much you know of the Bible. I let God take care of that. One thing I want you to see, I do love him. And I want to love him more. And I want to love him more. And I want to praise him more. I want to thank him more. Because there isn't anything. And it just, this what I'm going to say falls so short. There isn't anything, there isn't anyone so good and so altogether lovely and so striking from every angle, as his father was ravished with him. Behold the Lamb! Behold the Lamb! Oh, this is my beloved son, my
much loved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's the love. That's the love. And by the grace of God, it will transform you. And it'll continue to transform me right into that ravishing one to Him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's just stand and praise Him. Come on. We just got to praise Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, thank you in Jesus' name for this encouragement. Thank you again that it's your Spirit that stirs us up. Oh, God, thank you for that gift, the Spirit of truth. Lord, the one who brought the wedding vows to our hearts. Lord, thank you for the one who's brought that grace of the wedding vow back to our lips. Oh, that says, our beautiful Jesus, I love you. Oh, I love you. And I will go. I will go. We thank you, thank you, thank you for the riches of your grace. And soon it's the exceeding riches. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.